Welcome to 30 to Life Podcast. In this part two episode, we wrap up our mental health discussion with Taryn, CEO and creative director of the Real Talk Session series. Listen in as we continue to redefine the Black experience by building legacy and helping others along the way.
Parenting. I think if you look at a little girl and a little boy, the little girl hits the ground crying, you know, parent be like, don't cry. And then you see that see the same example for a little boy. He falls, cries, and they say, get up, don't cry, man up, right? And you talk about the man up thing, but that man up mentality, but that's passed on, you know, from father to son, and so on and so forth. And it's almost like we're trained not to be emotional. And then when you get married or you get in a serious relationship, they're like, oh, turn it on. Tell me how you feel. I want to know how you feel. And it's like, no, you kind of got to understand like the journey of us being taught not to display our emotions. So what are some ways that Black men can just communicate more to each other? Like, I know it's difficult, but what steps have you taken to communicate more with your brothers?
I'm glad you brought up the childhood thing though, because a lot of it does come from our parents. So for me, I really had to do that work to heal the childhood trauma, you know, like to heal the inner child and whatnot. So I've had conversations with my parents about stuff that affected me in the past. And even now, if they do stuff, I check them and let them know. So it's more so I was always a person who had no boundaries. And, you know, whenever this is not just even with my family, just talking about in general, but like when you establish boundaries, then that kind of makes people feel uncomfortable because they're no longer able to access you or overuse you like you did before, you know. So once I started talking about my story, I was revealed to other people who were going through certain things too. I was having issues with forming my thoughts into words. So I actually created a video called This Is My Depression. And that actually let people know what was going on with me. And that revealed the allies, quote unquote, that I had that I could talk about. So they shared their stories with me. And that helped me feel more comfortable with talking to men about issues. And then also the fact that, you know, you got to get out to your town. You can't expect the same results by just being in your town. So I actually went, I linked up with Above Art Studios in New Brunswick. Shout out to y'all. They actually had a men's group called Messages for Men. So I started participating in that. And then also I became the co-host prior to COVID. So I think it's more so you just got to get outside of your town because you may not have resources within your town, but maybe two towns over, there might be something out there, especially for men. And I think now that there's a lot of resources that are coming about because of everything going on with COVID for support for men and Black men in particular. So, you know, there's a lot of different resources. I know one in particular for Black men is therapyforblackmen.com and the Hurdle app. They're very good. So I would highly suggest those. And then also Taraji P. Henson has a great foundation called the Boris L. Henson Foundation, which is dedicated to her father. So these are more culturally competent resources for Black men to look into to really help grow and grow the communication skills. Because, you know, I think that's the main thing is really finding those resources, but also doing internal work. So another thing I did for internally was working on my emotional intelligence, because I know for a lot of Black men, including myself, I was only able to identify lust, happiness, sadness, and anger. That's pretty much it. But now I can identify anxiety when I feel it. I can identify depression. I can identify when I'm feeling rage. I can identify different emotions that I haven't felt before. So I think that identifying those soft skills, even though it's crucial skills, which I like to call them anyway, that's another way to learn how to communicate effectively.
How could I see those issues in my child?
So I think really with children, they don't know how to verbally express it. And the thing that we got to really remember too is that children are experiencing emotions for the very first time compared to adults. So with kids, oftentimes if they say like their stomach's hurting, that's an indicator of anxiety. So it can be because of they might have had bad food, but also you got to think about anxiety as an adult. You know, a lot of that often manifests in our stomach. They often say that our brain, our stomach is our first brain and our actual brain is our second brain. So that's a good way to identify it. Also looking at behaviors and especially like with lashing out. I know a lot of people like to resort to physical punishments and whatnot, but actually talking to them and seeing what's going on with them is an effective way to actually calm them down. You know, that's teaching them how to be effective communicators, how to talk to other Black men as they're coming up. Because, you know, oftentimes we think about fathers as being the discipliners. So that begins the pattern of not being able to express yourself to men too. So, you know, just being able to talk to your children, and seeing what they're going through. And also, I would say a great idea I saw was having a wall of different emotions and teach your kids what it looks like and have them tap every day. Boom, how are you feeling today? Boom, how are you feeling today? And have a conversation about it and allow for them to express themselves, you know, because I think that, you know, when you start suppressing children and they're talking and whatnot, then that can result in them internalizing a lot of stuff. And when you don't have that communication, that leads to people building different narratives within. So, you know, just really having that open communication. And again, I'm not a father, but I do a lot of research and I do a lot of mental health, like advocacy stuff. So that's some of the stuff that I've seen so far, especially with dealing with children, because they are often overlooked. And, you know, we think that we know everything that's going on with them. It's like our parents thought they knew everything that's going on with us. So they got a whole bunch of different stuff. And I would not want to be in a child's boots right now, because it's real, especially with social media.
Yeah, no, I love that that parenting tip on the emotions board, where it, you know, they describe how they feel, whether they're, you know, sad, angry, happy, and they tap it. I think that's a great way for children at an early age to understand how they're feeling. And I even think of taking this to another point, like having pictures of those feelings on there so they know exactly how it feels to them. So that's a great point. But I got a couple other questions for you. So we talked about you being diagnosed. We talked about you taking medication. But what were some of the steps that you took to, you know,
With a lot of these things that's happening in our community, with the killings, we're seeing all this stuff on social media. How do you think that's going to play with us, like with suicide and kids being, well, a lot of these kids being more emotional? Because I know the percentage of teenagers killing themselves has risen since like 2013, I believe it was.
Yeah, that's actually a real stat. So the suicide rates for young Black youths have definitely skyrocketed. Parents definitely need to monitor screen time. Students should not be on the screens all day long. I know we're in a pandemic, it's easy to let the screens babysit our kids and whatnot, but we really had to take a more active role. Being aware of the platforms that they're using. Kids are very sneaky. I know how we were back in the day with the MySpace, the secret AOL emails and all that stuff. So, you know, just being more vigilant and also more so not violating your kids' space. Let them organically let you enter their lives. You know, you have to work on that. You have to build it. It's an automatic, you know. A lot of times we like to point fingers of, oh, why is this happening? Why are you doing this? But we have to do that work within ourselves. So, you know, just having that open conversation and that ability to talk to your kids about anything really, and just allowing them to have that safe space to express themselves, you know, because I think that's very important, because a lot of people, kids' first bullies are their parents. So, you know, it begins within the homes.
So I want to take it back to emotional intelligence. And you said that you had to learn to identify with other emotions besides the typical emotions that you were accustomed to, like anger or happiness. Can you just explain why that's so important to be able to identify your emotions?
All right. So before I can really answer that question, I just want to break down what emotional intelligence is, because I know we talk about the name overall, but it's actually broken into four competencies. So the first competency is self-awareness. So, you know, just having an understanding of what's going on with you. So being able to identify those emotions, self-management. You know what those emotions are, but you don't have to act out with it. Just because you feel rage does not mean that you have to act out with rage. You don't have to act out with anger. Social awareness, being able to read the room, that's crucial. You know, you can't come in the room being like, hey, what's going on? And then you find out somebody died, you know? So you got to be able to read emotions. In a relationship management, you know, this goes back to you dealing with other people, you seeing how your actions are affecting other people. And, you know, just those things, dealing with other people, interpersonal communication. So emotional intelligence is very important. So I think more so for me, emotional intelligence, the self-awareness part was the most important for me, and the relationship management, because prior to this, you know, I always thought that I was kind of emotionless, but all of my interactions were full of emotion just coming out. So I think that that's very important, because, you know, you don't want to be spilling into other people or venting onto other people, because not everyone is built for it. You know, I know for me, when I'm feeling like shit, I don't want to hear about somebody's stories, you know, somebody's problems that they're facing, because I'm going through my own stuff too. So I think that emotional intelligence plays a big role and helps us to be able to not become a burden to other people and to understand what's going on with us. Because, you know, sometimes we'll overeat, or we'll indulge in too many drinks, or we'll indulge in other vices, and we think that we're just doing it because we feel it's making us feel good, but there's deeper underlying things sometimes that can be there. And being able to identify what's going on with yourself, with that self-awareness part of emotional intelligence, is key, especially when it comes to you working on your mental health and having healthy relationships with other people who are around you.
Yeah, I agree. The way I look at it is like this. Like, you have to be able to identify something before you can fix it. So if you don't realize that you're angry, how can you not be angry? You know, like, you know, if you don't realize what you're being emotional about, and how can you fix it? And that sometimes is as easy as just identifying it, giving it a name. Yeah. You know,
you break a bone, you identify it by seeing that broken bone, you know, same thing.
Exactly. Get down to the root. That's why I asked that question, because I just feel like that's super important, and it's super helpful in the long run. So if you're able to identify your emotions, then, you know what you can kind of do to make yourself get some balance. And that comes with knowing yourself. So if you know you're overly anxious, you should know some steps in the back of your head that decrease your anxiety.
And also with that part right there, having emotional intelligence helps you identify those triggers that make you anxious or make you mad also too.
So you mentioned growing up in your society that essentially it wasn't accepted to try to identify your emotions and be able to speak about your emotions. You know, that wasn't accepted, especially for boys. You know, we were taught man up. Man up meant to stop crying. And if you do feel like you need to cry, to hold those tears in and don't let anybody see you cry and be tough. But I do feel like is something that boys should learn how to do, because in life, now hear me out, in life, you do have to man up sometimes, you know, as a man, especially if you're a man that has a family. You know, you're a husband, and you know, you're a father. That means to me, whatever your definition of man up is, that's what you have to be. And when somebody says man up, that doesn't necessarily always mean a bad thing, because if you have your definition of what it is to be a man, and if you're abiding by those rules, then man up should be, all right, let me just get back to what my definition of a man is.
Absolutely. Yeah. I look at man up as like you accepting responsibility for your actions, your decisions, you know, having integrity, all that good stuff.
Go ahead. I want to go back to something you just said about emotional awareness. You said that a lot of people overeat and eat poorly, right? Mm-hmm. So how important is your diet to your mental health?
Diet is crucial. When you think about sugar, a lot of people tend to go to a sugar, but that actually has a very negative impact on your mental. So you always want to make sure you watch the insulin levels. When you think about the sun, a lot of people face a lot of seasonal depression, and that's due to a lack of vitamin D. So there's supplements you could take. There's food that you can eat that has vitamin D within it too. So, you know, eating healthier foods also. So, you know, your biology acts very different with everything that you eat. So, you know, I think that it's very crucial for you to have those foods that fuel you. Because, you know, if you're just eating processed food or sugars all day, you're going to feel sluggish. You're going to feel bad. You're not going to feel like you want to get out of bed. But, you know, if you eat something more light, your greens, that's crucial to help you out with your mental, the nutrients that's within it, the vitamins. So food is medicine. When I was eating meat, I had extremely high blood pressure. My cholesterol was high. But then when I changed my diet to pescatarian, all that stuff went away. So, you know, so if those medical conditions can go away with the way you eat, so can any other medical condition. That's what I believe. But, you know, of course, everyone's biology is different, and check with a medical professional, because I am not licensed. So you will not sue me. Thank you.
You mentioned sugar, and I'm so happy you mentioned sugar, because sugar is literally like sugar activates the same brain areas as cocaine. Sugar is addicting. There are so many people addicted to sugar and they don't even realize they're addicted to it.
Yep.
Like how many times have you heard, especially older people, they say, I just want something sweet.
You said, I just want a little something right there. A lot of people stress eat because that's their way that makes them feel comfortable, you know?
Mm-hmm. 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 But sugar makes you depressed. When your body has an increased amount of sugar, the amount of work that your body has to do to break down that sugar, because really it's just an empty nutrient.
I love that you mentioned sugar as well.
So that's a good point that you make about your diet. And I learned that some calming food really to help you in terms of when you are anxious is like Mediterranean food. What are some other ones that I saw? Fatty fish, nuts, mm-hmm. and avocado. So, you know, when people get that avocado toast, you know, they get themselves calm. So
lavender too, rosemary. And those are herbs that you can put in your foods.
We know right now, COVID-19, more people are working from home, which they said as a result, there's more domestic violence, more abuse, more suicides, more just people not in a great mental health space. But when you add that to social unrest, political uncertainty, people are going through a lot. So what are some practical steps for them to improve their mental health?
First thing, reduce your screen time. A lot of people spend time on their phones a lot. What I usually do to help me out, our phones emit a blue light, which keeps us attracted to it, constantly scrolling and whatnot. If you have issues with falling asleep and you're using your phone right before, it's due to that blue light. So I changed the color to grayscale. So that way that blue light no longer exists. You know, when you look on Instagram at pictures, it's supposed to be colorful and all that stuff in black and white. So that's another thing. iPhones, I don't know about y'all trash ass Android users out there, but iPhones, every single week we get a screen time report. See right there. Yeah. So every week we get a screen time report and I try to beat the clock and try to take it as a game. So beat the clock every single week and setting out the limitation on your apps. You know, it gives you a screen time report of, you know, if I'm on social media for like 5 hours, let me go ahead and do a limitation of 2 hours. Discover where you live at. You know, there's not many places we can go, but, you know, you can ride around, see what's around. And I'm sure that you'll see that, you know, by being a tourist, you'll find some new stuff around your area where you live at. Because I know for me, I took the beach for granted for many years. I lived there, but, you know, I started going to the beach now, just relaxing. Even when it's not cold, I just go out there and chill, look at the water. You know, I started hiking, trying new things. Think about stuff from your childhood that made you happy. So was it video games? Did you draw? Did you paint? Was it coloring? So going back to that, finding that inner child and making it happy, you know, I always am for outdoor events. So, you know, getting together, social distance still, put your mask on, it's getting cold out, but, you know, get your little fire pit, buy from Costco, then return that shit after season. That's a little hint right there for y'all. And also, the Real Talk Session series does have some videos to help you out with COVID-19, giving you some self-care tips, and we'll be doing some virtual events too. That are going to be interactive coming up soon because it's about to be cold. It's going to be winter time. So, you know, trying to make sure y'all good out there.
Taryn, can you talk about a little bit about your Real Talk Session series and how did it come to be?
So the Real Talk Session series is a community-focused media organization that creates easy-to-digest and culturally competent resources that's catered towards the empowerment of Black communities across the nation. And we focus on our goals are to make a positive impact on education reform, criminal justice reform, and mental health awareness. So with us, we've been doing a lot of different things. So we had a digital talk show where we highlight a lot of different entrepreneurs and whatnot and get people out there locally who are doing great things. And then currently, we have our Melanated Mental Health Moment Quarantine Edition series, which I was speaking about with self-care tips. And we're doing that alongside the National Alliance on Mental Illness and the A Beautiful Mind Foundation out of Maryland. And then right now we have the podcast going on, The Miseducation of the People, which y'all were featured on, you know, last week. So, you know, just doing a lot of different things out here to bring non-traditional educational tools to the people. We meet people where they are, and a lot of people are digital right now. So bringing all that education to the screens, you know, because it's hard to find educational resources that don't require money or physically require you to be there. So, you know, just trying to cut the corners because, you know, people don't like to read. So we try to keep everything short, sweet, and to the point. And we do a lot of curated posts too that give out a lot of good information for people. And, you know, we don't just talk about mental health stuff. We talk about a lot of different shit. And we got some more interesting episodes coming up too.
I know you're into astrology, African spirituality. I know you're into a couple of these topics. How does mental health and spirituality, like, where do they meet?
Well, I know for me, with mental health, it caused me to slow down, right? So with our society, it's kind of like Rihanna, work, 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 work. We always taught to go, go, right? So, but when you actually have a chance to slow down and settle down, our minds are like a snow globe. You know, once it's not shaken up, you can see everything that's going on. But once it's shaken, you can't see anything. So, you know, that's the society that we live in. But when we get a chance to actually slow down and sit, then that's when you're able to read. You're able to come up with new ideas. You're able to come up with peace. You know, meditation was key for me. So actually at my darkest period where I was, you know, I had the plan. I just needed like the courage to go ahead and do it. When I was contemplating suicide, I was asking for a God, like literally on the couch, God, universe, ancestors, whatever, for a sign like, yo, that am I going to do this? Or like my day is coming. And then like the sign came to me. So I think that really, at your lowest point, that's when, you know, your ancestors come to the rescue. You know, you just got to be able to listen. We get a lot of signs from like our spirits, our guides, whatever. But, you know, it's people just choose not to listen to it. Or a lot of the times African traditional religions are demonized because of the colonizers, whoever wins wars, writes history. So that's exactly what happened. You know, when you look back at a lot of the early Bibles, ancestors were changed from ancestors to evil spirits and demons. So you have to look at it, you know, they're erasing our history and changing it into something else. So, you know, for me, it was more so goes back to the thing of you don't know what you don't know, what you don't know. Same exact thing. You know, I had to unlearn a lot of stuff that I was taught coming up, you know, being at that dark moment at that period, I was extremely mad at God. So it was like something just clicked for me and connected, you know, and I think, you know, being at the lowest point, that's when you're able to hear certain things. And when you're actually slowed down, you know, I just think this is a part of the process. You know, you got to go through some shit to actually gain wisdom and experience.
Yesterday was Halloween, and I think of, like, you know, just, like, demons for some reason, right? Whenever I think of Halloween, I think of, like, demons and other shit. And so whenever I think about demons, I think about being in church and then having the demons casted away by the pastor or whatever. Is that, like, a mental health condition, or are those really, like, some crazy spirits out there? Like, the only reason why I'm asking you this, Taryn, because you just did an episode on voodoo. And, you know,
oh, hoodoo.
You just did an episode on that, and, you know, I know you are armed with some knowledge, right? So yeah. can you talk about that a little bit?
I think that's more so like a part of decolonizing your thoughts, more so thinking like that it's the demon or whatever. A lot of the time when I think about church, you know, we talk about the Holy Spirit, you know, that's the same thing where we're talking to different spirits that exist. You know, there's different gods, especially in African cultures. They're called Orishas, and necessarily there's a ton of Orishas out there. So you telling me that you're going to church, you're speaking tongues, you're walking around in circles, similar to like what our ancestors have done. And, you know, there's no connection there. So I think it's more so of people not having that knowledge, again, goes back to not being informed, being misinformed, being uneducated about certain things. So, you know, for me, I think that there definitely is a spiritual practice within there. And a lot of the times, you know, we couldn't keep our specific African traditional religions alive, you know, and during slavery, we had to mask it within Christianity. So a lot of that stuff is within the church, you know, so it's more so it got adapted, and we have an oral history. We don't have books. And when we did have books, they were burnt to the ground by these white people. So, you know, a lot of our history is oral. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we don't want to believe our black people or other people who are more knowledgeable, whatever. So, but, you know, I totally think that there is a connection right there, but I don't look at it as demons. There are demons that exist, I believe. You know, we look at white people. We look at Donald Trump. They got to be worshiping some other shit. Jeffrey Epstein with that island over there. So I think that, you know, there's energy. Like, they out there doing stuff too. You know, it's just a matter of, who is your people? Who are you researching? You know, because we researching I'm tapping to my African traditional people, my people. I don't know who the fuck they talking to. So, you know, it's something going on.
Can mental health disorders be hereditary? And how important is to know your genetic background?
Oh, yeah. Just like any other medical disease, mental health disease are hereditary. So, you know, when we think about some people within our families that we don't necessarily talk about, that drunk uncle, the auntie that's on drugs, you know, those are people who have probably faced mental health conditions, and they turn to drugs as a way to suppress what they're going through. Because especially like when you think about high blood pressure, the doctors, they ask you, did anybody else have high blood pressure in a parent family? So the fact that mental health isn't really talked about, it's not known that it is genetic. So, but mental health issues are genetic. Definitely it is, you know, and a lot of it comes to just like what you eat, but you know, genetics, number one, that comes down to it. And slavery, trauma really influences who we are. Every generation, we're healing trauma from the previous, you know?
Yeah, this has been amazing, Taryn. We know mental health is deeply personal, sensitive subject, but it's so important that we become more knowledgeable and understand it by talking about it. What are some resources or support groups that people can join or find online?
Well, you know, since I'm a part of NAMI, I had to go ahead and salute NAMI first. So National Alliance of Mental Illness, depending upon what state you are in, they have different chapters. I am from the New Jersey chapter. We have all NAMI chapters have an abundance of free resources and support groups. So they have support groups for different cultural backgrounds, for different age groups, et cetera. So definitely check out NAMI. Like I said, the in our own voice presentations, I am trained. So if you would like to have a presentation done for you, for your church group, for your fraternity, sorority, for your job, your office, whatever, and you're in New Jersey, it's completely free. We do a free via Zoom. Great for personal, professional development also to HR, hint, hint. So go ahead and email me, Taryn at realtalksessionseries.org. Yeah, I gave you a different email address before, but you got a different one now. So I'm going to go ahead and put that in the show notes with the fellas. The Hurdle app is a good one. It provides teletherapy for Black men and more so of, not Black men, but Black people in general. And it is culturally competent resources. Great stuff. Mental Health America, another good one. I mentioned this earlier, Boris L. Henson Foundation, Taraji P. Henson's organization, therapyforblackwoman.com. The psychologytoday.com is a good one. And also I recommend meditation. So I'm going to throw out there the Headspace app. It's a free app that you can download on your phone and it provides many different guided meditation things. And also the Calm app is another meditation app too that people can check out. And also the Real Talk Session Series.
Speaking of Real Talk Sessions Theories, and where can people find you specifically?
At realtalksessionseries.org or at Real Talk Session Series on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. If you want to follow me personally, I am real_MR_Morgan. That's on Instagram and Twitter. I do have a Facebook page also, Taryn Morgan, you know, just there. And, you know, hashtag Real Talk Session Series, search it. We out here. You're going to find me. So that's what it is.
Thanks so much for that. And yeah, people go follow him, reach out to him. If you're going through any mental health issue or barrier, it's definitely a great resource.
I forgot to mention too, outside of mental health and education stuff we do have some fly ass merchandise that I sell. So, you know, we got some new stuff coming up. We got Black Friday coming out. A holiday design, special little design coming out on some Black hip hop shit. So you're going to see. So head over to Real Talk Session Series.
Yes. Yes, everyone. Check it out. Check out the website. Use the resources. Follow him on Instagram. But yeah, this has been tremendous. I love what you're doing, Taryn, in terms of really getting education out in an unconventional way regarding mental health, being an advocate, and really just helping people become the people, become the person that they're destined to be, and really just overcoming adversity and, you know, seeking the help and normalizing, you know, mental health issues. So that's definitely something that's inspiring, and you're doing it in an unconventional way and helping people every day. So thank you. And thank you for joining.
Appreciate the opportunity, fellas. Now, I mean, make sure y'all get out there, get right mentally, make sure y'all voted.
Yeah, he'll be out after. Go Biden. Nah. Go Trump, whatever one. I'm going to be right about one of them.
Y'all thought I was playing when I said I voted for Kanye? I wrote his name, man. Go yeah. Yeezy.
Yeah. Maybe 2024. He got a better shot. But but yeah, this has been another great episode of the 30 to Life podcast. We want to thank you guys for listening to another episode. Thank you for just joining the experience. Make sure that you follow us on Instagram at 30 to Life Pod, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and also make sure you subscribe and share it with a friend. Don't be stingy. People need to hear the podcast. So give them what they need. So yeah, this has been another great episode, and I want to thank you guys once again. It is your boy Mookie.
And your favorite color in the world, brown.
Your regular neighborhood Gakui.
Ready to Life Podcast. We out.